absolutely tapping my toes, and I hate myself for it. 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. No, I like a lot of country. I just don't like to admit it out loud. It's more fun to be contrary. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks, man. I'm just trying to figure out, was that Mexican music you were just
Zach
playing?
Brown Band. Zach playing? Brown Band, of all things.
Oh, my
you,
gosh.
You're killing me.
I must say, I couldn't quite tell. You know, is that the name of Taco Bell Day? I don't know. So, anyway, good to be with you.
Oh, hey, you know what? We were talking briefly on the phone beforehand. I meant to ask you this. Are you on a speakerphone or earbuds or anything? Is there any way you could go on the handset? It'll be a lot clearer.
I got earbuds in. Are they bothering you?
It just sounds a lot better on the handset. Yeah, so I know. I always forget to ask, but that's and I thought of it, and then we got to talking about something else, so no worries. I know it takes a second.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Oh, my God, yes. So much better. Right, John? So much better? All right, good. So let's talk about the...
Hello? Hang on.
Oh, I'm echoing. Yeah. It's my fault. I've ruined
it
now.
Okay, there, I got you. Okay. All right, no, note to self, no more headphones.
It's fine. So the vote in the House approving the Gulf of America, you know I'm an opponent, I'm a critic, I'm not on board. But you took it one step further, which is you made an offer to the president, right?
Well, here's my deal. Look, if we're going to pass legislation like this, which we were going to pass it, then I'm going to go ahead and make the most out of it that I can. I mean, so I've already had a dialogue with the White House. They love the idea of doing a bill signing down here on you know, somewhere along the Gulf Coast. Now, will they do it or not? I don't know, but my attitude is you elected me to make the most that I can representing this part of the state. So I'm going to take every opportunity that I've got to be able to showcase Northwest Florida to Washington, D.C. I'm going to do everything possible to display what we have in our military community, our veterans community, our tourism community. And you know what? I'm sorry, when the president shows up anywhere, there are hundreds of cameras that follow him. So this is part of me. I can't get the restaurant out of me. I'm constantly promoting. I'm constantly trying to figure out how to make the customer happy and take care of the customer. And this is exactly where, you know, my head lies when it comes to legislation.
Do you, and by the way, I actually value that. I recognize that and I appreciate that. And getting the president here and the attention it would bring us, among other things, yeah, of course. I mean, I would love to see a picture of, as much as I'm opposed to the name change, a picture of the president thumbs-upping in front of the sailfish sign. I mean, that's invaluable PR, man. I'll take that. Hey, is this going to pass the Senate? My read is it's not going to pass the Senate.
You know, who knows? Look, there was a number of House members that really did not want to vote for this. I get it. Some people question, is this the best use of our time in the chamber? Here's a reality that happens in Washington, D.C., and it happens in Tallahassee. Sometimes you've got to keep people busy because there's still work taking place. So we are just grinding behind the scenes on this reconciliation bill.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, just grinding. And because not everybody's sitting on a particular committee of subject matter that is dealing with the bigger numbers on it. So you've got to keep these guys active, busy. And when you get in the chamber for a vote, that's where you get a lot of work done. So even though that vote took place, there was a lot of visiting, exchanging, updates that are taking place because this is the one place we actually get to be all in the same room with each other.
We're looking at one of the big things that you guys are all working on is the tax plan. President Trump is he's been a little bit all over the board on this, including he has now at least hinted that he's open to anybody making $2.5 million or more to revert to the pre-2017 tax rate of about 40% from the current 37. You know, we're talking about that as a way of paying off and not having to, you know, finding a way to keep Medicaid at current levels. The state and local tax exemption is one that I mean, I hate that exemption because it means that people who live in big, expensive liberal states like California and New York pay less federal tax because their local tax is so high. And I think your local tax being high shouldn't get you out of paying federal taxes. We all have to pay that.
Agree. So, I mean, this is one of the problems we've got with as tight of margins as we've got now, as opposed to when the original Trump tax cuts passed.
Yeah.
We've got Republicans in New York who, you know, they get dug in. They won't vote yes, you know, unless You know, they get a salt package that they agree to. So, I mean, so this is unfortunate. This is some of the negotiating horse trading takes place. As with what the president floated regarding the tax rate, look, I think the president uses Truth and X as a way to do a public forum. I'll just post and see what people say. I don't see the Congress having an appetite for changing those rates. But I do think the president learns by throwing out there. He's got the biggest microphone, arguably, in the world. So let's just throw it out there and let's go fishing and see what type of response I get. Let's see what I catch.
The left is, and I think you're right about that, by the way. I agree with you about that. The left is talking about this involving, you know, big cuts to, you know, entitlement programs, Medicaid in particular. I'm concerned about the child tax credit, even though we're kind of getting to where we can't claim it anymore for our kids. I think that's so useful to younger families who have kids and are usually struggling to get their life kind of going professionally. Are Medicaid cuts coming? And is the child tax credit still going to be kept? I always admire Marco Rubio for his advocacy on that issue, but you tell me you're closer to it than I am for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tax credit stays in play simply because it's something that brings, I mean, it's a good issue that brings everybody to the table. So, I mean, the tax, even though the Dems, as dysfunctional and broken as they are right now as leading, you know, they at least know anything a Republican proposes is something they're going to vote no on. But when you put things out there like the tax credit, you know, now, I mean, right now you're voting against policy that benefits all Americans. So when it comes to adjustments in Medicaid, you're going to see more than likely you're going to see a work requirement in there for able-bodied men. You know what? If you're 25 years old sitting on the couch playing Xbox, you know, when you get out there, be out there having a job that provides you health insurance, we're going to start, you know, ensuring that there's a work requirement. And that's pretty much universally, even the Dems like that language. So, I mean, we're going to start forcing people to get off the couch, and if they can get a job where their health insurance can be provided, their health can be provided by a private solution, that's going to be the pathway you're going to be forced to take. We're just going to tighten our belt and make sure the Medicaid system that we have today is sustainable.
So not cuts per se, but regulations that will wind up in a reduction of spending because the regulations make sense and they currently don't. That makes more sense to me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So when it comes to what somebody's going to argue, the Democrats will probably cry foul. But where you have big blue states that have become sanctuary states, and they're providing Medicaid to illegals, you probably will see an adjustment when it comes to those, that if you're going to continue doing this path of providing health care to illegals, which, I mean, here's the big thing that people, you know, as the scare tactics that the left likes to do, right now, anybody and everybody who has an instant accident needs treatment can walk into any hospital, whether it be Ascension or Baptist or HCA, you name it, they can walk in right now and get treatment, and they have to get treatment. You know why? Because it was a part of the budget that always made sure that their charity care was always compensated for.
Right.
So, I mean, so they can squall that we're cutting them, but what we're going to do is if you're going to take that much higher reimbursement rate, and I'm getting in the weeds, then we're going to adjust your adjustment rates to make sure that those states that are playing by the book, you know, have more of a sustainable. We're going to focus on women. We're going to focus on children. We're going to focus on seniors. We're going to focus on the disabled. That's where, to me, the true mission of Medicaid really lies.
You know, I always, whenever I was talking economics in my ethics classes, I always taught my students that there are basically four kinds of people in the world. There's the wills, the won'ts, the mights, and the can'ts. You know, the people who will work no matter what, the people who won't work no matter what, the people who might work depending on the incentives, and the people who can't. And Medicaid's for the can'ts, you know?
It really is.
One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, because to me it's a big deal, and it kind of went under the radar. In fact, I was surprised. I stumbled across, my wife actually told me about this, and then I went back and looked, oh, that was an executive order that the president issued. We are going to move off of physical checks to and from the government in September. That means tax payments. That means Social Security payments. That means anything you do with the government will no longer be through the mail in a, you know, a physical check. I know for me, like, I do not love the government having my bank account, even if all it is to, you know, deposit money, but to send them money, I'm uncomfortable about it. And I know it's for fraud defense and some other things, but this is a very interesting, because there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised by this and are not going to be super happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit before the show. I said, man, my 90-year-old mother, she only knows how to pay things by writing a check.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely going to be a generational challenge where they're going to need to have to go to Publix and do an electronic transfer, or, you know, but what you will see, you'll also see the market come to meet those consumers in a way where they can dumb it down. You'll see the financial institutions or banks will be more aggressive about accommodating, because every time that a financial institution can get a customer to come in the door is an opportunity for them to sell a new service. So, you know, I think you will see technology come to that customer that is challenged. And the other thing you have is you're going to have those that pay significant amount in taxes. They like having, you know, that 4 to 7 day float on a check being in the mail, especially when interest rates are where they're at right now.
Well,
so, I mean, it'll be bumpy, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I totally understand the idea about the mail loses things. The mail is slow. The physical cost of processing the checks. I mean, I think back to the examples,
100%.
You know, of the mine shaft of the employment records. You know, like like all of that stuff. It's, you know, I think we're probably going to save a lot of money doing it this way. It just makes me feel nervous because either I'm old or, you know, whatever. I know people do everything on their phones these days and they don't think about it the same way I do. I did want to briefly give you an opportunity to talk about something that your office has put an alert on, is home deed fraud protection and prevention. Now, I know your background is a CFO here in Florida, but you're taking that to the Congress as well. It's scary stuff to think about people, you know, not, you know, identity thieving basically by doing stuff to your home deed, right? To your home ownership.
Yes. I mean, and I still, I told the team the other day, I said, look, I can't turn off my consumer protection hat off. I've been doing it for the last 8 years. This is real. And it plays in the title insurance space also. But like right now, my wife and I are under contract to buy a place in the district. Everything we've done has been totally electronically via email. Everything we've signed, total electronically with email. I have not sat and talked to anyone face to face. And I'm about to purchase a property in the district.
Wow!
So that's a lot of trust. And so then, how do we have checks and balances to ensure that ultimately somebody's home is not being sold from under them?
Right.
So this is why we just like to create those alerts, you know. And look, some of these credit monitoring systems, they're not a must have. But here's something I tell people. You know, the credit rating agencies, we give them a lot of a leeway, but they have to provide you a credit report, a detailed one, every single year at no cost to you. It is worth, if you haven't done it, go to Experian, go to one of those guys, and sign up and get your credit report. And know it, don't sign up for any extra services. You don't have to, but get your credit report and just look at it. Look at what's been going on, and there will be surprising events that are on your credit report that you didn't even know about. And sometimes it's just because somebody has the exact same name you've got or a similar name, but you can see where your credit was accessed. And then you get to see where some of the vulnerabilities are.
You know what I wonder? Seeing this release from your office made me think about, I wonder if there's an opportunity for, I don't know, I was thinking about some kind of a federal database, the way we do for criminal background checks, or maybe like a two-factor authentication for, you know, any real estate transaction where they, you know, your phone is attached to your deed and they just, I mean, it seemed like there's an opportunity for something that would enhance the security of these things. I mean, I hate two-factor authentication,
yeah,
but I'd be glad to put it on my house deed. You know what I mean?
So when you go and you access your online credit, there's a feature on there. And I'm so glad you brought this up. There's a feature on there where you can freeze your credit. And what that simply means is whenever somebody wants to access your credit, then you get a phone call and you must say, yes, I will authorize my credit being accessed for review. So that feature, it's a free call. We actually, when I was in CFO, The state of Florida used to allow the credit agency to charge you $10 for that. And we got rid of that fee altogether. We said, no, if someone wants to freeze their credit, you're not going to charge them to freeze their credit. So anyway, but you can go onto those credit websites. You know, you can freeze your credit. You put your information there, and they will contact you anytime somebody's trying to access your information. So it's actually a great safeguard. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Is there any way to shape that so that it could be limited to real estate only freeze? You know, that because it seems like such a specific problem with such a huge consequence if it goes awry.
Well, and again, I don't know the types of guardrails you can put in off the top of my head.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'm sure you can put a dollar threshold, which would trigger that type of transaction. But you also have there's products out there that will guard your title. That'll do the exact same thing. If your title is being accessed, you will get notification. You know, I think some of this stuff is a way to you can overkill with belts and suspenders.
Agreed.
But if you've been a victim, then there's probably no price that is too much for you to ensure it never happens again.
Yeah, exactly. The as you say, the cost is so high. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for District 1, sir. Again, thank you so much for the time. It's really good having these conversations with you, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Take care. Thank you all.